My name is Harriet Tramer, and thanks for joining me today as I host Reaching for the Gold. I hope you will turn in every other Tuesday afternoon at this time when this program is broadcast. My two guests today are both dedicated to make people feel more comfortable as they move through their lives, but they are going about reaching that goal in very different ways. Karen Bowersox started Downs Designs to provide people whose proportions might not meet typical standards, helping them to find clothes. Maureen Allen, meanwhile, works with people who are trying to discover their spirituality. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How did you happen to found Downs Designs? How did this happen?
Well, I had a granddaughter born with Downs syndrome. And as she grew, I watched her mother struggle with finding clothes that fit her. People with Down syndrome have some anomalies that are very similar to the syndrome, which is a short femur and a short humerus bone. So their pants fit very, very differently than a typical size pair of pants. So just making them shorter doesn't really fix the problem. And it's usually the same with the shirt. So I just started with pants for now.
But with all the different sizes and shapes of clothes that are available today, why would there be this need for these special pants? Isn't clothing that will fit virtually everybody readily available?
Not at all. There is also another major factor. People with Down syndrome have some dexterity problems, and buttons and zippers are very difficult for many of them. So pulling down their pants can be a challenge if they have to manipulate a zipper or a button. So Downs Designs jeans have elastic waists, and many people with Down syndrome wear sweatpants a lot, so they're used to a very comfortable type of pant, which means if they put on hard, tight jeans, they're not going to wear them. So Downs Designs jeans for men and women all contain spandex, so the denim is all stretchy, as well as the waistbands have no buttons or zippers. And then they're stylish, so that people that wear our jeans to school or out feel comfortable in a stylish jean rather than having to wear sweatpants all the time or athletic wear that doesn't have zippers, especially the men. That's a real, you know, real problem trying to find zipperless pants for boys and men.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question that everybody who starts a new business is asked. If there is such a need, as you seem to indicate, why hasn't anybody come along and answered it previously?
Well, there have been a few that have tried, but I think, you know, financially, they've probably, you know, met brick walls, which is some of the problems that I also have. It's been very expensive to manufacture clothes, but I persist. And the population of people with Down syndrome is about 400,000 in the United States. And a big company, a big company like a Walmart or, you know, Kohl's or someplace like that, they're certainly not interested in 400,000 people as a population. It's just not enough to worry about manufacturing. And if they put them in stores, in one store area, there are not enough people with Down syndrome to require a store to have a section with, you know, clothes for this population of people. It's just not enough. So that's been one of the reasons why I don't think that other big manufacturers or big clothing companies are really interested in this small population of people. And for me, I find that it's such a need that, you know, I'm going to continue. I have a very big following on Facebook. We have over 63,000 people from 45 countries who follow Downs Designs. And I've shipped to 7 countries already, including Iceland, if you can believe it.
But, why not?
What has inspired and forwarded me is to a bigger population of people with disabilities is the men in this country who cannot manipulate buttons and zippers is about 30 million men. So I've actually launched a new brand of jeans that is like a very high-end designer jean with no buttons or zippers. So now I'm reaching out to probably a more elderly population of men who may have arthritis or Parkinson's, or I just had a customer yesterday who had multiple dystrophy, wears sweatpants all the time. So in the adaptive wear world, there really isn't attractive pants for men. I mean, not in the jeans. Jeans are a real specialized fabric, and they're not so easy as people think to make. So I've come out with a new line of jeans, and my next goal would be to do a boys' line without buttons and zippers. So my new brand, which is called NBZ Jeans, No Button Zipper Jeans, was just launched about, 2 weeks ago. So I'm reaching out to a whole nother demographic of people who are definitely older. And I think our population of older people, like myself, I'm 65, my husband's 73, we still work, we still are young, we want to look good, but finding clothes for maybe someone with arthritis or some other disability is very, very difficult to be, at least in fashion. So I'm trying to bring out a whole nother way of older people. We're the baby boomers. We're still functioning. We're still out in the world. But if there are more opportunities to have disabilities as we get older, then we should also try to accommodate their needs and have, a more attractive wardrobe for this age group of people. So that's what I'm working on. I want to change the way men dress. I think they're also going to be good. They're all spandex. They pull up real easy. I think they're going to be good for just guys who travel a lot or have a job sitting all day, things like that. So I'm working on a whole new generation of pants for men. You won't see anything like this anywhere.
Now, the minute you talk about expanding your business, maybe it was a rather limited market at first, but you're talking about expanding. I heard millions.
Totally.
Of elderly or people who have different special needs.
Yes, but men of standard size. If someone has Down syndrome, they can fit in my jeans, but if you have a man who is of standard sizes and standard hem length, these our Down's pants would not fit that man. So this new brand is now standard sizes. They would come in a 32 waist with a 30-inch inseam, that kind of thing. So they can be ordered and shipped based on their standard sizes. And my Down's pants would not fit these men.
I understand.
Yeah.
Now, what comes to my mind, the entrepreneurship is very impressive, but what comes to my mind, you are putting this out there. You're putting this out there to an ever, ever expanding audience of possible customers, a customer
Correct.
Base. Can't somebody simply take your design, find some way of doing it less expensively because they're doing it in such mass production, and, hey, put it on their
sure.
website? Why
sure.
can't Walmart or anything
Why?
Just take your...
Request?
Pattern, put it on their website. Maybe there's not enough in one particular store, but there might be across the country.
They could. There's no patent on clothes. But my question is, why haven't they? And even some of the big distributors like L.L. Bean and places like that they used to have elastic waist or something like that. But they don't make it anymore. And I will tell you, denim with spandex is a very expensive product. And so I'm trying to make an elastic waistband that looks good. I don't know why they really aren't interested in this market. But no one can stop them.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my world. I'm in a world of people with disabilities, and I feel that, my customer service people know me from Down's Designs. I should be able to, have my faithful customers from Down's Designs. They certainly have a father or a grandfather or a brother or a neighbor, who may be a potential customer for Down's Designs. We've also, now we're trying to market through Google and Amazon. So we're just beginning. We're in the very, very early stages of developing our marketing program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm also, at this point, trying to get an investor involved in NBZ, which, you know, if I can get a substantial amount, then we could move forward much faster, come out with boys, come out with more colors, come out with more styles, and really blow this out of the water. That's my goal. There's just such a market. There's the population is there. It's marketing is our key right now. We have to let people know that we're here. And that's mm-hmm. where I'm at. It's just begun. So I'm just in the very, very early stages of developing my new brand.
Mm-hmm. Well, like all entrepreneurs, I would suspect you face somewhat of a dilemma or a challenge.
Financial, yes.
To move to the next step, you need some very substantial marketing. And
right.
That's expensive.
It's expensive. We priced an ad, one ad, get this, the smallest ad that ARP has, because, you know, we're dealing with the elderly, $5,000 for a very small ad. And, you know, people take, you know, 10 times to see an ad before it even registers in their head. So, you know, what would we spend, you know, a ridiculous amount of money just to have an ad in ARP. So we hope that, you know, through Amazon is a very big marketing tool, and there aren't that many elastic waist jeans in Amazon, so that hopefully if someone is in doing a search engine and they type in elastic waist jeans, our jeans will pop up. I mean, that's a good thought there. You hope it works.
mm-hmm.
We don't know yet. We haven't got, you know, we're still working with Amazon. I think it's mm-hmm. just now getting up. So we'll have to see how that works, and that'll also take time. You know, there's no quick fix in marketing. Takes a while for a population of people to even see it and then respond to it and then actually purchase.
How would you respond to people who say what you're doing is indicative of a very considerable energy and drive, but an elderly person who has some mobility problems or a Down's child, they have many, many other things they're dealing with, often financial hardships,
right.
A whole long list, getting to the store, getting food.
Right.
Why would you say that these comfortable clothes are so significant, worthy
their
of
life,
consideration?
Sorry to interrupt. Truthfully, that once these kids or these adults have our pants, they absolutely don't want to wear anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back, and even only having one style, they come back and buy three or four. I just had one person just today call. They ordered one pair. They always like to see how they work. Well, I've mm-hmm. called that person. I've made a relationship with that person. I found out the name of their son. He's 16 years old. What are his needs? And so I sent her several to try on. She can't believe that I even called. Then I send her some to try on. Then she sends them back with which one fits. We hem them to the exact length that person needed. She just says, oh, my gosh, I have to have three more pair. We can't afford it, but we can't afford not to have these. They mm-hmm. found a way to get four pairs that they were so excited to have a pair of pants that looked really good on their son. He was able to go to school and pull up his own pants. Think of the humiliation of a person who goes to school and has to have someone help them with their pants, and they know it. So, or what if they didn't make it to the bathroom on time and had an accident? Now they can go into the bathroom, they can pull their own pants down, they look like every other kid in school. It's life-changing, and you wouldn't think, and I would have never thought, that a pair of jeans could have such an impact on a person's life until I actually got into this. So my drive is every one of those customers that says, thanks, Karen, for making a difference in my child's life.
You really think it can be so life-changing?
You wouldn't know that unless you had a child with this condition that you could not find pants for. And to cover so many different of their issues, like our Down's jeans are made for their tummies. They have big round bellies. Many, many, many have big round bellies, and they have a sensitivity issue. They won't wear anything around their tummy. So we've designed a style called dip downs that come under the tummy but still cover their bottom. You know, people have butt crack all the time and things like that. Well, we've solved all those kinds of problems for them.
Mm-hmm. And you think your new product can do the same thing for older people?
Well, they're standard size, so
mm-hmm.
the convenience and the comfort of these jeans they really solve a lot of issues for that person as well. And if they can't dress themselves, if they're a person that has a caregiver pulling their pants up, well, how easy is that? So it goes not only with the person wearing them, and maybe the person has mental challenges and isn't maybe aware of what they look like. Well, their family is, you know, and they don't want to keep them in pants like sweats and, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe they want them to look like every other person. So, you know, self-esteem, whether it's in the parent or in the wearer, is very important. And if you look online for adaptive wear for people with disabilities, it's kind of a forgotten population of people that really care how they look as well. And I think that needs to be addressed. And hopefully, come on, let other people start doing it. There's millions and millions of people that could use this kind of clothing. And I can't certainly do it all. And if someone else wants to get on board, I welcome it.
Mm-hmm. Now, how has starting this business changed your life? Do you look at things very differently? You started this business when?
I started it 4 years ago, and I was running my husband's medical practice. And then, you know, as Maggie grew, my granddaughter grew, you know, she started walking and she started tripping over clothes. And so, you know, I had an idea that led to this. I mean, you know, it started, I knew nothing about Down syndrome. I knew nothing about clothes. Now, you know, I have everything manufactured in China, which you have to make jeans in China. I go there. I'm actually learning Chinese. I've been studying Chinese for 3 years. It's good for my brain. I'm 65 years old, so, you know, we start to get forgetful at this age. So, you know, I have a class 5 days a week. I go to a foreign country a couple times a year. I go by myself. I have confidence. I'm able to communicate in some small way, not a lot. It's a tough language, but I don't feel so isolated now. And I come to work every day, and I never work a day in my life. I just can't wait to get here every day. So at my age, and I think the sky's the limit, and I just want to live long enough to build this business into an enormous business that I can pass on. Hopefully I'll pass it on to one of my own grandchildren. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
I have 12.
12.
So you never know where life takes us, you know. I at our age, anything is possible. Anything is possible. I'm younger than ever at 65.
And you feel then that it has changed your thinking? I mean, 65, that would be around traditional retirement age.
Sure. All my friends are retired.
Sounds like you have absolutely no intention of retiring.
Never. Ever. You know, I hope that I'm, you know, I'm in mind and body in good shape when I'm 90, you know. Colonel Sanders did it at 92. I guess anything's possible. Because when it isn't work, it's never work. That's all I can say. It's never work.
You seem to have a mission.
Yep.
And that's wonderful. But in having your mission, have you ever felt very frustrated when you thought, hey, wait a minute, this is a need, a strong need, not just a product, but answering a strong need that you believe can change people's lives, and you've run up against a brick wall of people who just are doing dollar and cents calculations to see if it will be profitable? Has that often proved very, very frustrating for you?
Well, Downs is not profitable. Downs, I'm still, you know, deeply in debt. But, you know, the drive to keep Downs Designs functioning and keeping the electric on has led me to start another business, which is my new brand of jeans, which requires no work. There is no try-on service. There is no hemming. Our jeans are standard sizes. And the population of millions of men who may be potential customers makes this desirable for an investor. And we've prepared the business plan. We're planning to go to an investor. And NBZ now is going to come in. We're going to share all the same people, all the same space. And Downs will have help now with its overhead, which should get Downs Designs to at least break even. Making money was never an issue, but we all need money to run a business. So I had to create another needed business that would be a profitable business to help my Downs business sustain. I always say where there's a will, there's a way. and this seems to be the way that I'm headed. And it's also a win-win because I'm going to help lots of men and boys.
Now, let's try to go on a real positive uptick. I asked you if you've been disappointed when you ran up against people who simply look at business as business, dollars and cents, and you indicated you have a way of circumventing some of that, of making things manageable. What have you encountered where you saw people not just concerned about dollars and cents, but truly anxious to help you because they saw you had a mission and saw you maybe dealing with a very real need, not just a need in the sense I need clothes, but a need in the sense this can make a difference in my life? What has really made you more optimistic?
My customers. I can't stop. I just feel that I need to grow up with these kids who are buying our small pants, and they're going to need pants when they're older. The thank yous and the appreciation and the photographs of these kids smiling ear to ear. You know, 63,000 people on my Facebook page, and they're posting their kids in our jeans, and they're just so grateful and so thankful. I don't know how you, there's no dollar and cent sign I can put on that. And I just, you know, I always felt like I wasn't given this just to have it fail. And every step of the way, the right person has come along, or the money came along, or whatever seems to be my need is what I get at the time. So mm-hmm. I never fret, I never worry about money, because money is just a means for me to get to my end, and when I need it, it comes. So I guess I don't worry about those things. If I put the negativity out there, I'm just going to get negativity, and I don't. I keep it positive. I keep it exciting. I keep every day a joy, and where it'll happen. It just falls into place for me.
Now, you say people have come along when you needed them. Can you give a thank you, send out a thank you to some of
well,
these people?
Okay, give you an example. Last year we entered this contest on Facebook from Staples. And just when, I had no money for marketing. I won $50,000. I won one of the national contests that Staples has every year, and I got $50,000 worth of digital marketing. And I'm still using it. I probably have 2 or 3 months left of advertising marketing, and it's built our Facebook page to over 63,000 people.
Wow.
So, you know, there was an example of just when I needed it the most. You know, I had the products, but how did I tell people I had them? I won the Staples Prize last year. That was major. That was just major. Personally, when I needed money, you know, something came up and, you know, got a big income tax check back or something like that where we could put more money into the business. We closed the practice, and, the hospital bought our practice, and voila, there was some more money. You see what I'm saying? I can't explain it, but when I need it, it just seems to show up for some reason or another. The right person came along that I hired, you know, this person walked in and, you know, needed a job, and I was looking for that, but, you know, just those kinds of things. The loyal people that work here that love their jobs and put love into everything that they do, it's wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Oh, things like, just like this, you know, Huffington Post did a story, and you found out about us, but also, mm-hmm. you know, Huffington Post did this wonderful story, and I got all kinds of, you know, different people writing blogs about Downs Designs, and, you know, it was just hundreds of emails and just wonderful publicity through people writing blogs about Downs Designs and things like that, getting the word out at no cost to me, no cost to me.
Now, if somebody is interested in your new product, why don't you explain to us again what this new product is? When you say standard size, in other words, if I wear size X when I would go
to
any other store, I order size X from you,
right?
And they're these
correct.
Specialized jeans. Just tell us a little more
right.
how people can reach you and how these jeans you're now selling are specialized.
Well, NBZ Jeans are basically for men. I guess a girl could probably wear them, but they're in men's sizes. Like, they come in a waist size of 30, 32, 34, 36, 38, and 40, with hem lengths of 28, 30, 32, and 34. So we haven't got into big and tall men's yet. But if people are struggling, if men are struggling, pulling up their pants, these, and they're sick of wearing sweatpants or, you know, some sort of convenient wear, then there is a high-end fashionable jean that they can find on our website, which is N as in Nancy, B as in boy, Z as in zebra, nobuttonzipperjeans.com. And we have a Facebook page, NBZ Jeans, that they can like us on Facebook, and they can tell their friends. They can call us at 877-390-4851. Is there anything? I can Skype, I can FaceTime. There's all things I can do to try to help if they have questions about the size. They can call me and I'll talk to them. I actually call every new customer, even my NBZ customers, and find out more about the wearer, and find out what I could do to help, if there's anything I would need to do to them to make them more convenient for them to put on even. So, you know, I'm just here to try to help people and keep business going. It's got to be for both. You know, you have to survive. Anything else you'd need to know?
Karen, thank you very much for being a guest on the show.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
And you certainly do have an inspiring message that I'm sure will lead our listeners to think very much about what you said. Thank you.
I hope I can help. Thank you so much.
Maureen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Harriet. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I'm sure you've been asked this question many times, but it's pertinent. How do you introduce people to spirituality in our very material world?
Yeah,
you might tell somebody, you have a great spirit. You should be glorified by that. Mightn't they respond, I don't need a great spirit, I need a raise? How do you deal with the mix, bringing that into our very material world?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's one of the challenges that spiritual teachers face, but it's also a big reason why people seek out spiritual teachers for guidance in the form of, we call them sessions or readings. The reality is, we are living in the material world, the physical dimension, and we are living in a physical body, but we have this vibrant energetic soul that is inside this physical body. And there are so many lessons that we have planned for ourselves to learn and grow from by being on this physical dimension. So to answer your question further, what I would suggest to somebody, what I would say to somebody, is to really tune in to the reality that you do have a living soul inside of your body, and you are up against the challenges that we face in the physical world. And by tuning in and connecting to your soul throughout all of your experiences, throughout all of your challenges, throughout all of the rewards you have in your life, is really what's going to further you best with your development, which is really why you're here in the physical world.
You think then that tuning into your spirituality, becoming more aware of it, can have practical benefit? Again, we live in a practical world. What are the benefits? You think this could have benefits that I could touch?
Absolutely. So let me see if I can give you some examples.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of us have, you know, we have basic needs. We need to have security, financial resources to take care of those basic needs, right? So most of us have jobs to pay for our homes, our cars, our lifestyles, as well as we have health challenges, ups and downs, being in that physical body. So by tuning into your spirituality, I'm going to call it tuning into your soul, and more importantly, tuning into heaven and the guidance that heaven can give to you, can help you with all of those choices and challenges that we face. And they can help us make choices that are going to be for our greater good, that we're going to be happier with our homes, our jobs, our health. So So let's say somebody is wanting that job to maintain a certain home, a car, whatever it is that they desire physically, but they're miserable at their job. They hate their job. To me, that would be a good time to start tuning in and finding out what's for your greater good, where you would be happier. You could go to a medium. You could get insight yourself through your own intuition, even through your own psychic abilities, that shows you that maybe it's no longer for your greater good to be in the position you're currently holding, but rather to release it, go back to school, create a new career. It's time for a new career path completely, and now you have a whole new transition with job and income, and you're happy doing so. Those are the kinds of things that unfold, and that clarity comes to somebody when they seek guidance from heaven in whatever form, themselves or through a helper, which a helper would be a medium or spiritual teacher.
Can you give an example of somebody who, in fact, has come to you and said, "Maureen, I don't like my job. I feel it's infringing on me, but it provides me with A, B, C, and D. What can I do?" Do you have an example of exactly how you responded and how somebody was able to evolve?
Yeah, I can give you some examples. I don't have vivid memories after readings are done because I'm out of body and they're not my thoughts and feelings. I can give you some examples of some people I've helped, thousands of people with that particular topic. All right, my spirit guides are showing me one client that's been a regular client of mine for several years. He kept getting all these roadblocks and not being able to, I didn't get to see the next job that he was going to have. And he was clinging and wanting the same exact job that he currently was in. For about 3 years, he was in a highly transitional state. Finally, there was a turn in the road where it became clear that his path was not to continue doing exactly what he was doing in this specific business field, but rather it was to make a dramatic shift into an artistic field that involves even a move to someplace different. His happiness level went through the roof when he finally was able to make that transition, and it finally was allowed to come through in the reading. I call it that he had to go through releasing certain mindsets as well as divine timing is when we are allowed to make the transitions that we get to make. When that point finally happened for him, his happiness level completely increased. The money that he was holding on to wasn't as important as it originally was. The happiness factor far outweighed, we'll call it the dollar sign image of what he thought he should make. I feel, going through the experience with this person, that he also recognized that maybe it's not the dollar figure, it's the happiness, it's the passion, it's the joy of this new career venture, which was in the artistic field, was so much more superior, and with that, the money did come, and the money came in the form of giving him exactly what he needed to support himself. So, to me, when there's a shift off of a specific dollar amount, a specific job title, and you're really tuning in and being genuine, holding the intention that you want to feel joy, passion, happiness, that's when the shifts will happen. And then with that, when you trust the guidance, what will happen is there's more gifts that will be sent to you in other forms besides a certain dollar amount in your bank that you think you have to have. You may have increased health. You may get to move into a climate or a state that you really wanted to live in, et cetera. I also have had many readings with people that when they weren't tuning in and they weren't embracing what their intuition was saying and they needed it backed up by a medium, that all of a sudden they waited too long and their job was taken away from them. And now they're stuck in a place of kind of a desert, do or die situation where it's more stressful for them to have to work harder, get busy, make it quicker happen to get that next job to be able to provide for their basic needs. So I've gone through it on several different angles. that have taught me the lessons of really valuing spirituality and paying attention to the soul and the spiritual part of our physical life that we live.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure you've been asked this question before. I believe I'm correct. You're located, or your practice is located in Laguna Beach, California.
That is correct.
Now, that's a very affluent area. Do some of this, I'm sure not all of your clients come specifically from Laguna Beach, but mightn't this message be more relevant for a more affluent person? Would this also be applicable to somebody who's having a very rough time financially, who might not have the maneuverability to say, oh, I can quit my job and go back to school and get something that's really good for me?
You know what? I'll address all your questions. My clients actually are not primarily from Laguna Beach. I just moved here from Minnesota about 8 months ago. My clients are actually all over the entire nation. I am able to do readings through phone and Skype, not just in person. So where I live or where most mediums physically live is irrelevant to their client base with the gift of technology. As far as your question about economic resources, I've done readings and helped countless people that were being challenged by economic hardships. There are so many. To answer your question, the best way would be to really to trust your intuition in terms of helping you make those shifts. I can also say when someone who is struggling, we'll call it financial, they're more of a financial challenge. Sometimes people are doing things that could, I call it, maybe increase those challenges instead of relieve those challenges. Such as sometimes people get in the habit of overspending, overbuying, not working as much as they could work or should work. So what I said earlier has no bearings on someone's economic status.
Mm-hmm.
At all, on any level. Not at all.
How did you ever become involved in being a medium in spirituality? What turned your interest in that direction?
Well, I had what's called a miraculous experience in my mid-30s.
Wow.
Where in the middle of the night, I saw a very large man's silhouette right on the wall next to my bed. It said spirit guide to me. I was very confused. I didn't fall back to sleep. It stayed there watching over me all night. I recognized the feeling of love being sent into me, which confused me. There was no anxiety. There was no fear. The next night, the same thing happened, but it was my father, and I could see my father, and my father was talking to me, and he sounded just like my father. And long story short, I had what's a two-month experience where every single night when I would go to bed, around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, they would appear, and I would see in that period 7 different spirit guides. Towards the end of that two-month experience, I woke up again. By now, I'm getting used to them. I'm not telling anybody about them. I'm keeping the secret to myself. At the end of it, the last night, I woke up to turn over, and I saw this brilliant white light all over my nightstand. I looked up, and there was an angel, and one of her wings was lit up in brilliant white light. I've never seen a white light like this on Earth ever anywhere. All I could do was stare at her, as I did the previous nights with the 7 spirit guides and my deceased father. During that two-month period, they were reminding me of what I knew as a child, that I was messenger, I was spiritual teacher, I was here to help God and Earth again. They were taking away the amnesia. I had full clarity of this knowing until around age 14. At age 14, it started to dim the knowing. At age 36, when I had this experience, they came to wake me up to my gifts. It took about a year for them to patiently, determinately, working with me to keep myself open up psychically and use my gifts to help people in the form of a medium doing readings, also a spiritual teacher teaching classes. Did I embrace it easily when I had one of the most coolest experiences I've ever heard of? No. I pushed it away. I shut it down. I didn't talk about it. It wouldn't go away. Finally, I recognized I had to deal with it. When I realized I had to deal with it was when my youngest daughter was also having the same kind of experience, and she was only 5. So to me and my daughter, who are both spiritually, psychically gifted, they kind of put me in a position to come in to help her, rescue her, be the parent, be the teacher, to help her cope with going through the same thing that I was going through. So I didn't really get a chance to shut out and go in denial for very long at all. So now, so many years later, I'm glad that they were as patient and persistent with me, because I consider it a true blessing, and I can't imagine doing anything else.
Were you frightened along the way? You say denial. Denial,
yeah,
usually,
you know,
means something you're frightened of. Were you frightened? I could see how somebody would be.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the weird thing. I was never frightened when they were by my bed, because they were so loving, and I recognized the feeling of love. And I said to them, like the third night, you're so loving. I can feel your love. And one of them acknowledged me. He was standing on the wall by my bed, and he moved his hands from the front of him to the back of him, back to the front. And I said, oh, my God, you can hear me talk to you in my head? And he did it again. And he said, telepathic to me. I go, oh, my God, you're acknowledging we're telepathic? That's why I'm starting to hear you speak to me. And I kept feeling their love. So I was never afraid of them. I knew and I fully understood what spirit guides and angels and my dad were, and that they were all in heaven. What I was afraid of was persecution and judgment by those that do not see and experience the things that I do. That was what made me shut down. That is what made my youngest daughter, Emma, shut down. We lived in silence and in anxiety and fear for a long time. It was having to face friends, family, and society, being what's considered more of the minority, going through life on Earth in a completely unusual way, when we know that they're not seeing everything that we're seeing and experiencing. It was the fear of persecution and judgment is the only thing I was ever afraid of. And I had to work really hard to overcome that fear. And I actually still do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You talk about a fear of persecution and judgment. In the years since you first had these experiences till now, do you feel our society has become more open towards this type of thing, that you would be less likely to face persecution? And people would just say, well, if that's what she says, that's what she experienced. Maybe I didn't, but I accept it as her experience. You think they've become more open?
I think people have become more open. I've also learned to be more discerning. I learned to be discerning very much in the beginning of who to open up to and at what level to open up to with what I would see from the other side, the positive parts of it, the heavenly realms, and the negative parts of it, the non-heavenly realms. I learned to use my discernment and my wisdom to protect myself, because even though people may be more open, I really don't want to even say that. I don't feel people are just more open today. I feel there are maybe more parts of the world that are more open right now. I can't make a generalization about that. I can only say I learned the hard way just to be more discerning and to really honor myself in these experiences and not openly put myself in harm's way with somebody that could possibly judge it because of their wisdom being in a different place and their experiences not being in the same space that mine are at. And I've learned to forgive people when those judgments do come up out of people. I've learned how to hold a forgiving heart and mind on them when I've been in those experiences. That's how I've gotten through it. And that's also how I've advised my students and my youngest daughter. So
now, you hinted at this, but to deal with it a little more strongly. If you talk to somebody and you sense they might be in danger, and you are not so sure if you should tell them that because you fear they might not listen to you, they might overreact, how do you handle something like that? You have a client and you say, uh-oh, this, and this is a possibility. How would you handle something like that?
Yeah, that's challenging. I'm going to answer. There's a couple different answers. If you're actually my client, that means you've invested your energies in my serving you. So you've put your time, your money, and your emotions into me serving you. So when I'm in that situation, I will honor heaven, and whatever heaven wants my client to know is my job to tell the person. Is it easy saying the negative things like a cancer prediction? No, those times are not easy. They're difficult, they're painful, but I have to do my job. And for me to do anything but if I were to never not tell the truth during a reading, I would not be doing my job to my fullest capacity, not to mention I would not be honorable. So if I'm getting something negative coming in, it is actually my job to tell the person. And when I get weak on the hard stuff, my spirit guides are right behind my back, holding my shoulders, nudging me, guiding me, pushing me strongly to get the hard, I call it the tough stuff out. The feedback I've gotten from my clients is at a certain point, they're so grateful that I did tell them because they had time to prepare for something like losing a job, getting cancer. I will get feedback from them. Well, they'll call my office or email me and let me know that it may have been difficult for me, but they're so grateful because they were able to take care of this and this and this. So it takes a lot of courage. That's not part of the job I like at all. When it comes to friends and family who have an inside track with me, sometimes I am allowed a glimpse into something that could help protect them. Their spirit guides, their angels, their loved ones are the ones giving it to me, just like in readings with clients. If they want me to give it to them, I believe in boundaries, and I hold strong boundaries in my personal life with my friends and my family. For me to give it to a friend or a family, I would have to consult my own guides and find out what's for everyone's greater good. If I'm being given major yeses by my guides and angels, then I will give it to them to help them and to protect them. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. Do I just give anything out the minute it comes in? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will weigh it in on a personal level before I would spit it out. So,
now, how has your working with spirituality changed the way you view aging? Many people fear aging. Have you come to fear it less?
Oh, my gosh. I love that question, Harriet, because it has made me so much more fearless with aging. And it's really shifted me because I get to see people that once suffered with major painful long illnesses and that lived into their 70s, 80s, 90s, struggling with health conditions where their bodies were deteriorated, their minds were deteriorated, Alzheimer's, cancer, people that have suffered with physical challenges, paraplegics. I see them coming through in readings, standing right by their loved one in their reading chair, standing right by their side, looking completely healthy, whole, young, vibrant. There is no aging in heaven. There are no physical challenges. There is no paraplegic challenge. Everybody is restored back into what's called perfect whole energetic state. Because I get to experience this a time and time and time again and again and again, it's completely pushed me out of thinking that we are going to transcend down the aging path and stay there. We're not. It's temporary. It's completely temporary. Once we leave physical body, we're no longer in that illness, that age, that physical challenge. We're released from all of it, and we're back in a very happy, beautiful, healthy, energetic state, period.
Maureen, thank you very much for being on the show. And if people would like to contact you, how can they do that?
They can go to my website, which is MaureenAllen.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I would like to remind my guests you can get more information on aging at my website, HarrietHTramer.com, HTRAMER.com. Thank you very much for listening.